Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. from California, and I am a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Monday, August 21st. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 101, the second paragraph. Today's readers are, we have Alex K. for the 12 Steps, Tanya P. for the 12 Traditions, Carly H. for the Big Book reading, Sandy K. for Vision for You, page 164, Lois P. for backup. The newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and announcements, Robin P. The reference numbers for Sunday special edition, 20th of August, is 20,554. That's 20554. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,555. 20,555. Sorry, 20555. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA, please.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. Alex K. in California. Compulsive eater. Recover just for today. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex K. Next up is Tanya P. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovering from compulsive overeating in Michigan. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Attest.
Thank you, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 101, the second paragraph, starting with in our belief and finishing with have always failed. I now ask Carly H. to please read and share on that.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Carly H., a recovered from compulsive eating in Connecticut. Page 101, second paragraph. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed. As I said, I am a compulsive overeater, and I just happened to, one day at a time, be recovered from it. I have tried all these methods, and they always failed for me. The attempts that I made to shield myself from temptation were the way I did it for my food was, in the 1970s, I went on a liquid protein diet. It was this pink wrap that you pre-digested liquid protein, and you added water or whatever and ice and drank that so that I wouldn't eat any other food at all, just that. Then in the 80s, I tried it. I did that for a while, and then you go back to the food, and you end up with a bigger explosion. So that's what happened for me. Then in the 80s, I tried it again. I remember it was lemon juice, maple syrup, cayenne pepper, in like a tea out of that. Did that for a while. And then just to shield myself so I wouldn't eat anything else. Just that. And all I really did was dissolve the enamel off my teeth. Then I started eating again, gained a bunch of weight. Then I would avoid buffets and parties and family events. All those ways, all those attempts did nothing. They always failed for me. And definitely doomed to failure and definitely put on a bunch of weight afterwards. Truly, I ended up with a bigger explosion. So with that, I pass. Thanks very much. And glad everybody is here, and thank you for doing service.
Thank you, Carly H. Okay, so we're going to take folks' names, and I'd like you to remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And if you have never shared on the line, I recommend you jump in today. So if you give us your first name, first initial name, please.
Danielle W.
Is that Danielle W.?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, why don't we start off? Okay, we'll start off with Danielle W, Deborah G, and then we'll have Donna B, and then we'll take more names after that. Go ahead, Danielle W, and please share, everyone share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Danielle W, compulsive overeater from Southern California, and very happy to be here with everybody. You know, when I read this, what comes to mind for me is, am I in self's will or am I in God's will? If I am trying to control my environment, if I'm trying to control the food that I have access to, I'm in self-will. I'm still trying to run the show. And that means I'm not actually in recovery. The only hope I have, and I may be able to white knuckle it for a bit, but it's doomed to failure. And usually for me, it's epic failure. I, when I go back and look at my history, I'm astounded at the things that I did to try to control my eating. I mean, it's absolute insanity, which is why I need this program. You know, if I was able to just avoid certain foods, I wouldn't be in these rooms every day. So for me, it has to be God's will. And the only way that I can live in the flow of life or be guided by a power greater than myself is if I'm working the program. I have to be doing the steps. I have to be doing the steps every single day. You know, I can't afford for there to be any emotional buildup, because when that happens, I'm alive with the spirit, and I'm going to go to food every time to quash feelings that I just can't handle. So, you know, I work a strong program. I come to meetings every day. You know, in the morning, I do my prayer and meditation. I do my 10th step. You know, if something's really big, I'll go back and actually do a full fourth step. I work with a sponsor, and I try to stay as close to God as I can. And I remember when I was new to the program, my sponsor, who's such a beautiful example of recovery, would say to me, you know, I pray about everything, what to wear, most importantly, what to eat. And that was such a novel idea to me. You know, I always thought God only handled the big stuff. And now, you know, before I put food in my mouth, I ask, you know, I was at a restaurant yesterday for lunch. I ask, God, what do you want me to eat? And that way, God's the one that's driving the train. And I don't have to try to control what's going on in my life. I don't have to try to keep certain foods at bay. That's the beauty of this program, that, you know, I turn to a power greater than myself, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Danielle W. Next up is Deborah G., followed by Donna B.
Good morning. This is Deborah G. from Arizona. Thank you for leading us this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. I can remember, you know, that mental twist where, you know, I could get a glimpse of my behavior, the insanity of my behavior and what I was doing. And then it was fleeting because I really wanted to continue. I wasn't honest with myself. I really wanted to continue to do those foods. I even tried going through the steps one time. But, you know, again, I wasn't true to myself. I wasn't honest. I couldn't get honest with the reality of it, that I was a compulsive overeater and there was a problem with those foods. And I would, you know, get so sick and so out of touch with reality. My thinking was so distorted, and my decision-making of things was so distorted, and the brain fog and can't sleep good. I even felt itchy in my skin, you know, and all these things were going on with me in my brain and in my body and in my life, the behaviors, but yet I still continued to go back and go back and go back and live in that insanity. You know, it got to be, that was just a normal routine for me, you know. Wow, I am so grateful today that my life isn't like that, and there is a way, and I'm glad that there's a way here that I've learned to do it differently, and my life is differently, and my emotions are differently, and my thinking and brain is different. Thank you all for 12-step and me today.
Thank you, Deborah G. in Arizona. Next up is Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver. And met with my sponsor to read and study and discuss this chapter. And this particular page created a disturbance. I had been abstinent for 4 years and 9 months. And one of the things that I swore was keeping me abstinent was in the evenings when I had the desire to volume eat, I would text people and I would say, I want to volume eat. I would text 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 people until someone acknowledged my message. And I said that in my mind, that in revealing the truth of what I was feeling, it protected me from making the decision to volume eat. And one evening, about 3 months ago, I had the desire to volume eat. And I, like in a fugue state, got up from the sofa and proceeded to eat granola bars. And I did not send any text messages. And there was nothing that was between me and the food. My scheme of texting people had failed to work. So what brings up a disturbance for me in this chapter and in this page specifically is the question, do I really sincerely believe that there's a power greater than myself that I have access to, that I can surrender myself to completely, that can protect me from the compulsion to eat? And that's a question that I ask myself now every day. And I have different answers depending on the day. But what I have learned for sure, and I learned this by walking along the banks of the Arkansas River in Colorado, is that God's creations do not run on self-propulsion. There is something that is moving the river, that is determining the water levels, that is determining the currents. And so for today, I believe that I am the Arkansas River, and I don't want to run on self-propulsion. I do want to surrender, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna B. in Colorado. So we'll open the line for more shares. And again, we welcome newcomers. Veronica B. Is that Veronica? Who else?
Rita F.
Rita F?
Yes.
Could you please tell us what page and paragraph you're on?
Sure, we're on page 101, paragraph 2, in our belief, any scheme, finishing with impossible, have always failed. one paragraph.
Lisa R.H. in Orange County, California.
Lisa R.H.? Okay, great.
Yes.
Anyone who else would like to share today?
South Bend, California.
Sorry, what was that?
Agnes A.
Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
A?
As in apple.
Okay, great. So we'll start with those. So I will start with Veronica B, followed by Rita F, Lisa R.H., and Agnes A, and then we should have time for a few more shares. Go ahead, Veronica B, and if everyone could please share where you're calling from as well.
Hi, I'm Veronica B, recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you for your service today. It's so good to be on the line. And for me, this paragraph represents, combating alcoholism proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. First of all, alcoholism, for me, it's a condition. My compulsive eating is a condition. It's something inside of me is, I suffer from a spiritual malady, and I use food to fill up my feelings of inadequacy, fear. Really, it's all driven by fear. And so I would use food for the solution. And but really what I have is a spiritual malady. What I'm longing for is to connect with the higher power, which I call God. So that's really what drove me to want to eat. I was longing to connect with God, or this feeling that I felt safe. And so instead I would go to food. And so this is telling me that for me, I suffer from this condition. It's not that I just couldn't go on a diet, and I can go on a diet and I can lose the weight, no problem. But I always will default and go back to my old eating ways, because I will default and go back to my fear, and I'm always going to have fear because I'm human. So I had to work these steps and get a power of my understanding, get a God of my understanding, which I call God, who protects me and keeps me safe and protected, shielding me from all these things. It doesn't work for me. I have to feel safe and protected, and the only way to do that is by working these steps and getting a relationship with God and my understanding that will help me through my struggles, will help me through good times too. And I really like the shares where, for me, like, I have to let other people know when I want to binge eat or when I'm having food thoughts, because I am human, and if I'm not spiritually fit, I'm going to always think food is the answer. So this is why it's very important for me to stay current with the sponsor, stay current, stay in the middle of this Overeaters Anonymous. Stay current with living steps 10, 11, and 12. Always be helping somebody. These actions I have to be consistent with. It's a consistency in living this way of life that has brought me freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom from the bondage itself. So thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Veronica B. Next up is Rita S., followed by Lisa R. H.
Here I am. Wait a minute. I'm coming. Quiet. Shoot. Wait a minute.
Do you want us to come back to you, Rita?
Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm coming. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Let me get rid of this dog. I'm going to have to go in the bathroom now. Or I'll kill him.
Hey, Rita, we'll come back to you. So we'll come back
no,
to you
I'm
after
here.
The next reader.
Can you hear me?
Please
Hello?
Proceed. Back to you. Okay, go ahead, Lisa R.H. Please mute Rita.
Okay.
Hi, this is Lisa R.H.
Okay, I'm sorry.
This is Lisa R.H. in Orange County, California.
Longtime listener, first time sharer on the live line here. So this paragraph is really a good reminder for me. What sticks out is if the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. This reminds me of my binges after my diets, you know, because the mentality is feeling deprived. So I have to make up for for the lost food that I could have potentially had during the diet. That's my mentality when I'm in the food, or trying to diet. And, you know, that just doesn't work. And when it refers to, you know, trying to shield myself from temptation, I know that in the beginning, when I'm getting abstinent, while I'm detoxing, so to speak, it is important for me to kind of shield myself from temptation. I think, you know, we refer to that, a lot of people refer to that as the hospitalization period, well, you know, initially. But this is later on. This is, you know, like, it's just not a way of life, is to trying to shield myself from temptation, because then I'm still trying to control things and I'm spending time and energy on those attempts to control. It's wasting time and energy that could otherwise be spent on, you know, my prayer, my meditation, and service to others, because the solution to this problem is a spiritual solution. And so if I'm just trying to force and control, and it's just, you know, it's doing that white knuckling situation, and it's so freeing to not have to do that. And so I'm super grateful to be recovered one day at a time and, you know, be in the solution, and appreciate the opportunity to share. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for jumping in to share today. Rita S., are you in a quiet place? All right, we'll see if you're available later. Next up is Agnes A.
Everybody, thank you for your service. Thank you for sharing. This speaks to me about, I don't want to be on another diet. I am done with dieting. I'm done with every fad that comes around. I'm done with white knuckling it. I'm done with a very restrictive kind of plan that tries to shield me, you know, from temptation. I know that's not going to work, you know. And so I'm very cautious about what my red allergy alcoholic foods are. I don't want them, by the grace of God and with program and consultation with my sponsor, you know, to be overly restrictive. You must do this. You must exactly weigh and measure, even if it's lettuce, this, that. And so my way to avoid that, because it's never worked in the past, it was always linked with my trying to be in control, trying another diet, trying to do it exactly perfectly. Otherwise, it wasn't working. If I didn't lose 10 pounds in a month, I didn't do it right. So what I've found instead is that I have very few things on my, from trial and error and experience, on my allergic foods, right? My alcoholic foods. Processed sugar, crackers, and bread. That's it. Then I have yellow foods, yellow light foods, and there are things that I know to call upon God to have with caution, to not bring them into the house if I can help it. You know, fruits are in there, a handful of fruits and stuff. And so then after I do that, all I know now to work this program is to do the steps to enrich my spiritual fitness, to have that tie with God, just the steps by the grace of God, and then let God do for me what I can't do for myself. And so I use the tools of the program, calling my sponsor, writing food down, praying to God when I go to the grocery store, meditating in the morning and saying, what should my abstinence look like and at the end of the day being accountable. But when the weight doesn't come off quickly, I don't say, well, then let me restrict a little bit more, because it's a lifestyle now. Just knowing that God is the circuit breaker was the way my sponsee put it, between the compulsion and the mental obsession. It's God that does for me what I can't do for myself, keeps me from that first bite that sets me off again. So my recovery is very gradual, but it's sustainable because it's really not a diet. You know, I can go anywhere. I can be confronted with food, to a buffet, to a wedding, whatever. I pray, and God and the program and the steps, that is my defense against that first bite that sets off the craving and the rest of the madness. And soon I'm, you know, in the problems of life, unmanageability of life. So that's really my share. I can't do some things, but it's God that is my defense. God and the program worked by the grace of God with willingness and honesty to the best of my ability. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Agnes A. Okay, last call for Rita S.
This is Rita S. in Florida. Can you hear me?
Yeah, let's go.
Thank God. This, I'm in competition with the dog today. But I am so grateful to share. This program has been a miracle for me. I many years went, and I didn't have that connection with God. I went to church, but it wasn't working. I did all these things. But now I'm so neutral around the food. In fact, I had a physical about a week or two ago, and I am no longer diabetic. I'm off all medication. You know, everything, I'm, you know, and I'm in my 70s, so it's never too late, if you're out there listening to this, to lengthen your life and to be happy, joyous, and free. And the only way I could do this was with God. And for that, I'm so grateful that I finally, you know, like someone says, you may as well eat everything you want, you're in your 70s. No, I want to stand before the God that I worship and be clear-minded and sensible to explain whatever I did down here. So I can tell you out there, you're never too old to get this. You can do it. I'm going to Boston in about a week, and I'm Italian, so you know what that's like. And they don't get it, and they're in their disease, but it's none of my business. The only business is God's business, my business, and everything else is none of my business. I have boundaries set, and if it doesn't work, I have an escape plan. So, but for the grace of God and you guys out there, it finally sunk in. And I'm so grateful for my sponsors and for everybody that has helped me through this. And thank you for letting me share.
Donna W., are you there?
Yes, sorry, thank you. I was talking away. Thank you, Rita, for your share. And we're on page 101, the second paragraph, in our belief, and finishing with have always failed, this one paragraph. We've got time for probably about, let's start with three to four more shares, and just jump on in.
Hi, this is Melanie C. from Oregon. I'd like to share.
Thank you, Melanie.
Joan Marie M.
Is it Joan Marie?
Yes.
Joan Marie M.
This is Louise from Ontario.
Louise.
Jordan L. from Colorado.
And Jordan L. So we'll hold up there. So I have Melanie C., Joan Marie M., Louise from Ontario, and Jordan L. So we'll start with Melanie C., followed by Joan Marie M., and everyone else, please mute. Go ahead, Melanie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I live in Canby, Oregon. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I love listening to all the shares this morning because it helps kind of settle my own thoughts and my own experience with this. And I was panning my life through the time I've been recovered to see how things have changed and grown and what it was like when I first came in to a place where I needed the kind of help that I receive here. It looks like perhaps there was a low bottom addict in me, and I've learned since that food was only the symptom that needed the first initial attention, but that wasn't my malady, that wasn't my concern, and so that's good to know. And there was space in between that, because I had shown before that I could do a diet for a week or so. But you know, that the thing that kept developing over that, and what I'm hearing from folks today, is that temptation is not the issue. It is something different than that. And I was trained in the very beginning to find a group of people and a plan by which I could live with that kind of peer support, thereby having space between the food that I would shove in my mouth and not. The other things I found interesting along the way is it was mentioned to me that I'm going to see a billboard, I'm going to come in front of a commercial, there's going to be a holiday meal served, there's going to be something that's going to come up all the time. And if I kept my thinking in line with, if this is before me, then I'm going to be in trouble, that needed to be shifted, because that was not it. It was my thinking that said that it was a temptation, and that was changed through time, and which was wonderful. I appreciated that so much. And I think the most important thing here is that is the separation between me and the food and the plan to be able to execute that. What I wanted to share about, and this is what I had actually ultimately came to open-mindedness about, is that when I came in the rooms and people were so meticulously trying to describe a particular kind of food without mentioning the name of that, that was almost more seductive than just naming the name of the particular food. And I'd go to meetings and they would say that we weren't allowed to use the names of food because we didn't want to tempt our fellows in going back out to eat. What I've learned is that, you know, I can't cause anybody to overeat, nor can I cause anybody to be sober. And in these rooms, I face this stuff every single day of my life. And to have the freedom to understand that temptation isn't a part of this particular dilemma, that that food is just a separation between me and a simple plan that kept me busy every single day so that a new way of living was going to be able to be created, I was free. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Next up is Joan Marie M., followed by Louise.
Good morning. Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and mercy of God. I related to everything everybody was saying about the different diets, the restricting. I would go out and not eat there and then come home and eat everything in the house and so forth and so on. So today I have freedom from the bondage to food. I am at peace and in position of neutrality, and how do I keep that the same way that I did to get it in the first place? First of all, God, having a sponsor, doing the steps, doing the nightly review, making outreach calls, having a food plan, weigh and measuring my food, and text it into my sponsor, and doing that nightly review, and so that there's no baggage left over. And yesterday was a typical day that would have been a day where I would have been in the food, but by the grace of God, and like I said, doing what I did. And it's been dreary for the past 2 days here in Nevada and rainy. And then church was canceled because they had hurricane warnings. And so it was a day where I didn't feel like doing anything. I just wanted to be lazy, and that was the setup for me. But because of God, the grace and the mercy of God, that I didn't even think of it because I'm in a place of neutrality. And I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful that I can go anywhere and enjoy friends and not have to be scared or worried about it. I would go on vacation before, and it was horrible. So with that, I think that's my time, so I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Next up is Louise in Ontario. And just let us know the first initial of your last name, Louise.
Hi, this is Louise. Sorry, you wanted to know the first initial of my last name?
Yes, please.
It's Louise M. And thank you so much for having this meeting. I've really enjoyed all the shares, and it comes at a perfect time for me. I'm struggling right now, and I thought I could do it on my own. So I went out there, and I know that I can't. I just know that I cannot. So I am back, and hopefully with coming to the meetings and really focusing on the steps and getting back into to doing what I know that I need to do rather than doing it the easier, softer way, which I know it doesn't work. And here I am yet again with no abstinence and just feeling like I have been defeated again. And this was a great reading this morning and great shares, as I said. And I'm so glad that I got on. Thank you, everybody, for being there.
Thank you, Louise M. in Ontario. Next up is Jordan L., and then it looks like we'll have time for one or two more shares after Jordan.
Hey, thanks, Donna, for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very, very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. I was just going to say that I had a couple of attempts at getting abstinent. I don't call them relapses. I hadn't run from anything. I was just abstinent. I was just not compulsively overeating. So, but I had a couple attempts at getting abstinent early on, and they didn't work. And I got to tell you, I was in a much better position circumstantially to get abstinent at those points in time. And so when I came back in 2017 and I made attempt number three, I was in a hard position. You know, I was a banquets manager. I was around food and beverage every single night of my life. And sometimes we had to stay up until 6 a.m. I was working in the evenings. We would stay up until 6 a.m. resetting buildings and moving tables and chairs and all kinds of craziness. And I got and stayed abstinent in the midst of that. And that's not a scheme of mine. That's a higher power working. And it was really, really hard. This stuff is really, really hard. Getting abstinent is hands down one of the hardest things that I've ever done. And that's kind of the point. We're not going to rely on a higher power unless it's really, really hard. My experience is that compulsive overeaters are quite stubborn, and they're not going to surrender unless they have no other choice. So I just wanted to say that. I also wanted to say that this past weekend, my little sister got married, and I was in her wedding, and I was completely surrounded by alcohol and alcoholic foods and cookies and cakes and all kinds of stuff all weekend long. And not only did I stay abstinent, not only did that not scare me, I wasn't, my obsession was not triggered by that. Not only all of that, but I walked through the weekend. I was able to show up for my little sister, and I walked through the weekend the person that I want to be today, you know? I showed up as the person of principles over personalities that I want to be, and was able to like really live my life, you know, and be present in that moment for her and for me and for her now husband, and be there for them. And that's what recovery is all about. You know, I know it's hard in the beginning, but I'm telling you, you get through that white knuckling phase and you work these steps and your life will change. And miraculous things will happen, not so much in the way of like your life is, you know, so much better than everyone else's, but like you'll want what you have. You'll want to be in and a part of your own life. And it's such a gift. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. in Colorado. We have time for one more share.
Diane Y. from Texas.
Oh, Diane Y.?
Yes.
Is that right? Jump on in, Diane.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service. For some reason, these words, "we believe," keeps grabbing my attention. And it reminds me of a sponsor I once had that used to say that every action has a thought behind it. And what is it that I believe is very, very tied to my ability to recover today? Do I believe that I can still make my own decisions? Do I believe that I'm right? I heard on a meeting recently from somebody, you know, is it important to be right or is it important to be recovered? And the big book tells us that this disease is in my thinking. So what is at the heart of my belief? Do I believe that food is my answer? I don't think so. I've tried a gazillion diets out there, a lifetime of things that were supposed to solve this for me over and over and over again. So what is it that I really believe? Well, it comes down to the instructions in this big book. Do I believe this? And if so, do I take the action? Do I pause? Do I pray? And then do I proceed? And this is the crux of the matter for me today, is what is in the core of my thinking? Do I still feel that I have other answers? Do I still feel that if I just tried harder, or do I think, well, you know, I've been recovered for a while, so, you know, I don't need this anymore. You know, it all comes down to what are my beliefs. And every day I have to believe that on my own, I'm a compulsive overeater, that my best thinking is what got me into these rooms. But I must believe that there is a higher power that can restore me to sanity, and that I have these instructions to follow. As long as I can believe these things, I am guaranteed the promises. How simple is that? Anyway, have a great week, everybody. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Diane Y. And thank you, everyone, for your share, and Team Monday for your service. Okay. So we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I have Sandy K. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Sandy K., please press star 1 to unmute. And if Sandy's not available, Lois, are you able to jump in? Can I be heard? All right. Looks like I got dropped.
Yes,
hello?
Donna. Yes, you can
yes,
be heard.
Yes,
Donna. Okay, I'll be heard. Thank you. So I'll go ahead and read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.